listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skulls in a pool of cerebral spinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Ugly American Martial Artist. The Dangers of Cultural Ignorance. Americans, when they travel the world as tourists, are often branded as ugly Americans. Now, this is for a number of reasons, probably the most significant one being that Americans tend to suck at being at all aware of the customs, language, and history of other cultures. This is, of course, not a genetic trait. White, black, yellow, or brown, all Americans tend to be prone to this ignorance. No matter what some would have you believe, we Americans are not exceptional or even distinctive in any hereditary way. What is exceptional is our geography and history. The United States occupies the entire width of the continent. While there are regional differences, for those living in the middle of the country, you can drive many hours in any direction, and the people you meet will still speak American English and largely share the same culture. For most Americans, there's no strong financial, academic, or political incentive to learn other languages, or to otherwise educate ourselves about other cultures. But for someone born in Singapore, or Belgium, or Uruguay, or Kenya, learning other languages and cultures can be as valuable as learning to code, or to repair an automobile, or how to defend yourself. Now, all cultures tend to be judgmental about other cultures. That's a human characteristic. But a case could be made that Americans are worse than most about this, because their judgment is based not on knowledge of the other cultures, but on ignorance. It's also a sad fact that too many Americans are defiantly and arrogantly proud of their ignorance of other cultures. Whether this is true or not, all humans have a tendency to think in terms of our way of doing things is the right way, everyone else's way of doing things is the wrong way. This type of thinking can lead to some uncomfortable and sometimes humorous moments. For example, Americans, culturally, prefer to maintain a large personal space between themselves and others when interacting in public. They feel uncomfortable when someone stands or sits too close to them. There was even an episode of Seinfeld that featured the horrors of interacting with a close talker. But in some other parts of the world, if you pull away from someone who sidles up close to you in a social setting, they may suspect you're trying to hide something. Maybe a smell, like perfume from an illicit lover, or liquor on your breath. This tendency to assume that your cultural norms are the only correct ones also extends into the martial arts. Every style and every academy of martial arts has its own, often distinctive, culture. Of course, this is a bit of a surprise to those uneducated folks who know little to nothing about the martial arts. But for the rest of us, understanding that the culture of other martial arts and artists can be quite different is important if you ever plan to interact with any of them. These cultural differences come in a lot of flavors, covering diverse areas of behavior. The most common source of difference in martial culture is whether or not there is a strong adherence to tradition. Is tradition the bedrock foundation of the culture, or merely a source for inspiration, or not even a cultural feature at all? Another important source of cultural differences is the way that the particular style or academy handles the concepts of discipline and respect. Of course, it's a given at nearly all martial arts schools that the need for showing respect for the instructor and the other students is understood, sometimes even self-evident. The real trick lies in defining what type of behavior is respectful and what is not. On occasion through the years, I've sometimes heard statements like, "I trained at this one academy and they weren't as respectful to their instructor as we are." Or, Man, at that school, the instructor makes everyone kiss his ass. What each individual would describe as respectful or disrespectful falls somewhere on the spectrum, one end of which we could call hard respect and the other soft respect. By soft respect, I mean more the type of respect you might give an elder in your family. That is, assuming that your intra-family relationships and politics are going as they should for a modern, evolved human. For most everyday situations, I find this to be the more useful form of respect. I usually feel more comfortable and tend to perceive the person offering me the respect as being more sincere when that respect is soft, but obvious. By hard respect, I mean the respect shown in a military-style hierarchy, featuring instantaneous response to instructions and instant signs of respect and attention when the proper cues are given. This type of respect is very useful when in the military or in police work, and even for the rest of us when some sort of emergency situation should arise. Such situations should dictate that hard, quick thinking and quick response are in order, and hard respect prominently features quick response and the instant act of paying attention. Interestingly enough, you'll find a similar divide among martial arts schools. Many Asian traditions, especially those we might call hard styles, tend to favor hard respect. But some traditions, notably many Chinese martial arts traditions, but many others as well, tend more towards soft discipline. There are plenty of gyms out there that have decided to show respect in a way that many people who trained in the Asian martial arts might find appalling. That is, that the atmosphere of the gym is very relaxed, often a bit raucous, and that the students feel free to call the instructor by his or her first name. Once again, let me emphasize that there are many ways to show respect. It's not the words you say alone, but the way you say them that displays this. It's frequently not necessary to stick to old cultural norms to show respect. It's only necessary to sincerely intend to show respect and to be ready to listen, learn, and adapt when you're instructed that you are failing to be sufficiently respectful. Another way that cultures differ between martial arts styles and academies has to do with whether they practice a sport, like boxing, MMA, or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or a combat art, like Junfan Gung Fu, or the Majapahit martial arts, or the Filipino martial arts, or if they do some of both. I described this difference way back in episode 2 of this podcast entitled Martial Sports versus Martial Combat Arts. If an academy practices a martial sport, the rule set of that sport becomes a defining part of its culture. I remember one time sparring at my academy with an instructor from another local school when I executed an iron broom sweep. Now, this is a technique in which the fighter drops to the ground and spins in a half circle with one leg extended. If you time this technique correctly, it can cut out the supporting leg of a kicking opponent and drop him to the ground. And yes, I checked with him before sparring to see if it was okay for me to attempt this. Anyway, after I swept him, he got back up to a standing position, but I remained on the ground. In those days, I did a great deal of punching and kicking from the ground, very much like the Harimau subsystem of many styles of Pentjak Silat. As I took up my ground-fighting guard position, he smiled, backed up, and said, "Go ahead, stand up. I don't do that." This was a classic example of two different martial arts cultures butting up against each other. Yet another reason for distinctive cultural features of martial arts and artists is what I call the Wu spectrum. That is the culture of the academy strongly influenced by adherence to magical thinking, like strongly believing in the alleged existence of qi? Or is it more influenced by a solid foundation in science and critical thinking? Or does it lie somewhere on the spectrum in between? How do the cultural features of martial arts styles and schools originate? Well, as I already said, the rules under which they spar is one source. but sometimes it stems from an idea in the mind of an instructor. A concept becomes a principle, which morphs into dogma, which then lays the foundation for the culture. So what once may have been a good idea, or indeed may not have been, changes over time into a rule of behavior, and in the most egregious cases is treated as if it should be self-evident to any decently behaved martial artist. But when the human brain is involved, especially the martial brain, very little should be treated as self-evident. Don't be the ugly American of martial artists. Try not to assume that there's only one proper way to train or to behave. You just might learn something new, maybe even something really cool. Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or about the Rising Phoenix Academy at my website, rpmartialarts.com.